Hi, this is Mike Delp with the Relax Back UK show on UK Health Radio, your global real feel-good radio station. On the Relax Back UK show, we explore all kinds of health topics, so keep listening and enjoy the ride. Hi, and thank you for joining me with the Relax Back UK show. This week, again, the show is made possible by the kind sponsorship of AlgaCells. AlgaCells uses the body's own stem cells' ability to regenerate tissue to treat joint and spine injuries and pain. Check out their website, AlgaCells.com. This week, I chat with actor Tom Hopper. Amongst other roles, he has been in Percival as Merlin, Billy Bones in Black Sails, Dick and Tarly in Game of Thrones, and Luther Hargreaves in The Umbrella Academy. There are some very physical roles there, which have caused him some real problems.
Where I slipped the disc, I had a bulging disc, which turned out to be two, during shooting of a show I did called Black Sails, which is a very physical job. And I ended up, you know, having this very, very bad pain for a good chunk of the shooting of season three and four of that show.
I talked to him and Dr. Sabir Kurka about the regenerative treatment that he's had to fix these problems. Then away from acting in aggressive sword fights and action drama to this.
By the end of the class, you know, women feel much better than when they came to the class, but they also feel better about themselves. You know, it's this idea that you're getting back in touch with the person within, because that's getting lost in everything that's happening.
Libby Stevenson is a yoga teacher who helps women during pregnancy, after pregnancy, and during the menopause. So please do stay tuned for a great show. Thank you.
This show is cool.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Nagging pain. We at AlgaCells know that a small amount of the patient's own bone marrow and blood cells can treat many painful conditions with regenerative orthopedic therapy. This is an attractive treatment option for painful joints, back pain, sports injuries, and many other conditions. It may avoid the need for surgery altogether. AlgaCells, part of a network of 50 RegenX clinics worldwide, where over 60,000 patients have been treated and helped. AlgaCells. Life is more beautiful with less pain.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
The guests in this first section of the show are regenerative orthopaedic specialist Dr. Sabir Kurka, who is also the sponsor of this episode, and actor Tom Hopper, who specialises in many roles that have a lot of action drama. And at first sight, it might appear that these two don't have much in common. However, it does seem that they do.
The main thing we have in common is our love for regenerative medicine. I think we also share a common goal in trying to educate people on stem cells and how regenerative medicine is probably the future. And I think there's been a mindset for a long time about, you know, going under the knife is the only option for people who have certain injuries. Whether that be orthopedic or, you know, I think, you know, there's a lot of back injuries and things like that that have forever been the only option you have is to go under the knife. And actually, that's just not the case anymore, you know, and I'm living proof of that. And coming across Zebig and RegenX and what he's trying to do down there at AlgaCells in London, you know, for me is very much the future. So we connected on a personal level on that, you know, that we share a common goal there, I think.
And so what did you have done?
Well, I've had a couple of things done.
You've had a lot.
The thing is, yeah, well, I mean, at the time I'd be down there all the time getting juiced up. I'd be like Wolverine. But the thing is, I'm such an advocate of it because I've had pretty catastrophic injuries at times. You know, I had a very bad bulging disc injury. I actually had two discs that were out at one point, and I've had a fairly nasty shoulder injury. These have come from, you know, doing acting jobs where I've had to be very physical, and like I've picked up injuries along the way. I picked up an injury where I slipped the disc. I had a bulging disc, which turned out to be two, during shooting of a show I did called Black Sails, which is a very physical job. And I ended up, you know, having this very, very bad pain for a good chunk of the shooting of season 3 and 4 of that show. And I finally had the time to go and get an injection done with stem cells, my own stem cells, which they take out of your bone marrow from your hip, do a bone marrow draw from your hip. And that healed it completely. I got no pain from it. Within a few weeks, I was pain-free.
Right. So it was like a switch for you. You know, you were barely able to walk, and then all of a sudden, you were fine.
Yeah, and the thing was, the worst thing about it for me, I very, very nearly went under the knife, because every orthopedic doctor I went to, and I, you know, I researched the stem cell thing, and every doctor that I went to, orthopedic doctor, said, no, that's all quackery, don't go down that route, it's all, you know, it's not been researched enough yet. And fortunately, my friend's dad had been down to RegenX, and he'd had it done, and it worked for him. And every doctor was saying, you need to go under the knife, at some point you're going to have this operation. To where they basically want to cut off a piece of my disc to remove it off the nerve that it was pushing in on, which then in long term is always going to weaken your spine because you've now lost that piece of your disc. Whereas what RegenX are offering is a service where they regenerate that disc so it actually becomes healthier and stronger. And
it's also done on local anesthetic, isn't it?
And I have to say, I was a little bit nervous thinking, it's honestly the simplest day in the surgery. You go in, you know, you're chatting to the doctors all the way through. Me and Zeeb are having all sorts of conversations through our procedures.
That's true.
Chatting away about all sorts. And yeah, it's very pleasant. But you don't go under any kind of general anesthetic. You're in a local anesthetic. It's all very, very comfortable. I'd say the most uncomfortable piece about the whole thing is the bone marrow draw, because, you know, they're going in to get the bone marrow. But even so, compared to surgery, this is like a fraction of the pain. Right. So it's just a little uncomfortable. Apart from that, the injection into the disc and everything is, I would consider that pain-free. It's very, very, very simple.
And so have you been able...
The result at the end of it, to know that you can go down and have a morning, a day, and then come out the other side.
Fantastic. So does it mean you've been able to continue doing these roles that are really quite physical? Because a lot of the roles you've done are very physical, and you kind of, you do your own
absolutely.
Stunts, don't you?
I do a lot of my own stunts. Yeah, there's some things that they don't let me do. The insurance doesn't let me do it. Which actually, after having the injuries, you know, I'm 37 now, in my 20s, I was like, let me do everything. And then a few injuries down the road, you kind of let the stunt boys take a little bit more of the heat. Sure. But yeah, I like to, you know, you can get better shots and stuff if you're willing to do certain stunts yourself. So I try and do as much as I can myself, which I really enjoy.
Good.
It's allowed me to do the roles that I do, you know.
Certainly. I must admit, before we spoke, I just looked at the trailer of your latest film, right, which is Love in the Villa. And so I was watching that, and you're in it with your wife. And for quite a lot of the time, at least in the trailer, she's listing a load of your faults, the character you play, I stress, not you, and throwing things at you. And I was thinking, if that was my wife, she might deviate from the script and start listing real things she doesn't like about me. I hope that didn't happen for you.
No, yeah, I mean, So the girl throwing stuff actually is, she's not my real life wife. My wife is plays another character in the movie. But she so like if the thing is that was quite a nice movie for me because I'm so used to doing like these big action sequences that was just a walk in the park, literally. It's very, very easy for me. So doing a rom-com, I was like, I could get used to this. This is like very, it's very nice. No injuries anywhere.
Much less risk of injury, yeah. Okay, just back to the treatment that you had from these kind of much more physical roles that you had. I'm just keen to ask you a bit more about those because compared to surgery, the actual downtime is much less. You mentioned a little bit earlier, but how much time did you have to take off to recover?
Well, the first, I mean, this is what's so great about these treatments is they're advancing all the time, right? So the first time I had the injury in my disc, that was about, I noticed the real difference after 6 weeks, but you're already up and doing stuff after, you could go back on camera after a week, you know, you could be back at work, less than actually, but just in terms of physical exercise, then it was like I had to kind of take a lot of time off, but like 6 weeks. But the more recent time I had the injury treated, I felt, I'm not exaggerating here, I went down for the treatment in London with Zubig, and 24 hours later, I was like, I can't feel the pain anymore. I was like, that's crazy. And I said to my wife, I was like, it's gone already. And she said, no, it can't have done. I was like, I'm telling you, I'm not in the pain anymore. So something was like miraculous on the second one. And then I was back. I felt, the thing is, I didn't want to push it because you don't want to like jinx it, right?
No.
But so I didn't like go to the gym and push myself hard or anything. I just sort of did some movement to get, but Zubig said, you know, now the protocol is actually to get you moving sooner rather than later, right, Zubig?
Yes, that's correct.
So I started, you know, doing my movements and stuff, but I felt great straight after it. And what I realized after having the first set of treatments to the second, which was about 2 years-ish, I realized that the treatments have advanced so much in that time. And actually the second time, I didn't even have to have the stem cells. We did like an advanced PRP into a disc, into the other bulge disc. And yep, so it's a completely
correct.
Different way they're doing it now, right, Zubig?
Okay, yes, what does PRP stand for, Zubig?
It's the PRP is the platelet-rich plasma. So we get them from the blood. So there is no need for drilling the bone to get the bone marrow. We are simply take the blood like for blood tests.
Okay. And so Zubig, was Tom a good patient generally?
Tom was a very good patient. Tom is very enthusiastic about the regenerative orthopedics, and he also has got a fair amount of really profound knowledge on it. So he asks really good questions, and I really enjoyed every conversation with him because it was very much inspiring. So I think yes, he was a very good patient.
An informed patient that asked lots of questions.
Yes, yes, yes. And I think, you know, I really like it because it makes me think, think through the whole processes and stuff and just, I think it's inspiring, so I like it. I definitely like patients who do ask questions, who know something about the treatments, and they want to learn more, and it makes it a great conversation.
Good. Here's a very important question. Go ahead, Tom.
What I was going to say is, you know, what's for me, you know, needs to be more of. There needs to be more of people willing to ask why, right, and look for alternatives to the mainstream medicine, because the reason I got into this is because I wasn't willing to accept the only route to healing was orthopedic surgery. And I was like, there's got to be something else. There's got to be something else out there that can actually help me heal this. And there is. And I think that's, if more people start asking why, and why must I go down that route, rather than going, what else is out there? And really opening their mind to questioning other alternative means of treatment, the better it will be, because it needs to come more into the mainstream, this form of medicine now, because too many people are going under the knife and coming out on the other side of it worse off. Whereas I'm living proof, as well as like other people that I know who are literally healing from their own cells and their own blood. You go in for a day, you get you draw blood like you're giving blood. And within a couple of hours, you are on the healing process. Job done. Like, yeah. I can't think of another thing that in terms of orthopedic treatment that is as simple as that. It's so mm-hmm. simple. And I look at people who are still going under the knife and going, why don't? There is another option out there for you that is going to help you. And I'm sort of, I feel like I'm becoming like one of the poster boys for it. I think because I know Joe Rogan is very, he's a big advocate of stem cells. He's had it done. And like, there's lots of more like athletes that are all doing it now. And I just think it needs to become more into the mainstream. More people need to know that it's an option for them.
Sure. One thing that people might wonder, because Tom, you know, you're a young man. Hopefully you've got many more years of acting in front of you. Can you have this procedure done, you know, again in years to come? Mm. Or is it because, you know, if you have, say, a knee rebuilt under surgery, you know, you can't have that done again. And it has a certain kind of lifespan, as it were. So is it possible if the problems come back to have the surgery, well, it's not surgery, the procedure done again?
Yeah. I mean, the idea is they don't come back. You know, I mean, Zbig's always saying to me, try not to get injured again. But as a physical guy and like putting my body through it, you know, and I haven't re-injured the same area, fortunately, you know, but that's the beauty of it, right? Is that you're not breaking down anything. You're not having to like cut into tissue and then like rebuild it. You're just adding in cells there, healing cells that are regenerating that area. So if you do re-injure it, yeah, you can take more of your own blood and then put it back in, or take more of your stem cells and put it back in. Like that's what's great about it. They also, Regenex also offer this service, and you can correct me here, Zbig, that you can now store your stem cells. So like my stem cells that are, say, because I'm 37 now, say my stem cells, they can draw them out now and they will be 37-year-old stem cells, right? They can bank those stem cells and I can use them when I'm like 70 if I needed to. So they'll be youngest, like healthier stem cells. Is that correct, Zbig? Am I saying that right?
Yes, it is correct. Although this service is very limited because it's not allowed in United States and in Europe. So actually, Regenex has got a clinic in Cayman Island, and this is where they can provide it, and it's exclusively there. So I just don't want to raise the hopes for people that they can come to us to London and get their stem cells stored. It is unfortunately impossible at this stage. However, there are some expectations that FDA, the American FDA, will change the tackle, and hopefully the European countries will follow. But that's sometime in the future.
Okay, Zbig, where do these concerns come from? You know, why is it not legal? What are the concerns there?
It's not illegal. It falls under different regulations, and the different regulations means that if you want to process the cells, the stem cells or the platelets in a more complex way, it's considered manufacturing medicine. And obviously, suddenly your clinic is not the clinic anymore, it's the pharmaceutical company. So obviously, this is completely different regulations, different manufacturing standards, And therefore, it's I'm not saying it's not allowed. It's simply none of the single clinics could afford to do that.
Okay. No, I get it. I get it. All right. So look, that's kind of living proof with Tom that it works and it's worth having. I guess the next question, Tom, has got to be, when are we going to see you next on our screens? When are you next going to be, I don't know, sword fighting seems to come up quite a lot with you, that sort of thing.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. I've actually taken a little bit of a back step from the sword fighting because I've done so much of it. I was like, I kind of fancy wearing like jeans and a t-shirt in some jobs, to be honest, because I'm always in the chainmail and whatnot. So, yeah, I've got the fourth season of Umbrella Academy that we're about to start shooting. I'm currently in New York shooting a movie called Space Cadet with Emma Roberts and Gabrielle Union, which is another comedy, which is quite fun because I love doing comedy. It's a big passion of mine. So, unfortunately, not too many stunts in this one as well, which is nice. so we have that coming out next year. And then we have a couple of movies that we're about to announce in the coming months, which are back in the action space. So I've got a big action movie that I'm shooting, but I can't announce yet because it's being announced next week. But I'm shooting that just before Christmas. There's a few things coming out next year.
Well, it sounds like you better keep in touch with Zbig just in case, because you never know, you might hurt yourself doing some of these stunts.
Oh, don't worry about it. I bug him enough.
I always keep a couple slots in the clinic available for Tom, so anytime.
Okay, glad to hear it. Look, guys, thank you so much for chatting. This stuff is really interesting, and it does sound like it can potentially help an awful lot of people just, you know, live a better life and avoid major operations. So, you know, it does seem extremely useful. Last question is probably to Zbig. If people are listening to this and they want to find out a bit more about what you do or this kind of technology in general, what are some good sources for them?
Obviously, they can find some information on our website at algocells.com or reginex.com. That's where we put some resources and recent publications. So I think that's the good place to reach out. And also, if somebody wants to talk and have an informal chat, we very welcome to our clinic, either for the consultation in person, and we also did a video consultation where a patient can get the flavor of what we do and what we can offer them.
Excellent. And all the contact details are on your website?
Yes.
Okay. Look, gentlemen, thank you very much indeed for chatting. It really is very much appreciated. So, my thanks.
Thank you very much, Mike.
Thanks for giving us the platform to talk about it, Mike, because it's really important that more people know about this. So, we appreciate the time.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Nagging pain. We at Alka-Seltz know that a small amount of the patient's own bone marrow and blood cells can treat many painful conditions with regenerative orthopedic therapy. This is an attractive treatment option for painful joints, back pain, sports injuries, and many other conditions. It may avoid the need for surgery altogether. Alka-Seltz, part of a network of 50 RegenX clinics worldwide, where over 60,000 patients have been treated and helped. Alka-Seltz. Life is more beautiful with less pain.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
The next guest is Libby Stevenson, and she's a yoga teacher. She does loads of stuff. She's extremely busy. So actually, I kind of took the easy way out and got her to introduce herself.
Right. Well, My name is Libby Stevenson, and I'm a yoga instructor primarily. And I am head of yoga for an online wellness platform for women over 40 called Harley Street At Home Menopause. I teach mainly online, but before then I was teaching in yoga studios, and I specialize in women's health. So I teach yoga for pregnancy, postnatal, and menopause. And I have been featured in magazines like Psychology's magazine, Stylist, Take a Break, and also on Sherlux. I've also been shortlisted for content creation in lifestyle and well-being by Magnified Influencer Fashion Awards. I'm a jack of all trades.
One thing that you didn't mention, but I'm going to pick up on it because I really like this fact, is that we're both engineers, or we have been engineers. You spent quite a lot of your career working as an engineer in quite a specific field. Tell us a bit about that.
Yes. So my background, my degree is in biomedical engineering, which is artificial parts of the body. And when I became a mother, I chose to shift careers and just be a stay-at-home mom. So although I have a degree in engineering, I had worked in banking, and then I became a stay-at-home mom. And as my children started leaving home one by one, and I have four children, I had a lot of time on my hands, and I thought, what do I want to do now? So I liked yoga, and I decided to pursue the yoga teacher training for personal development. I had no intention of doing anything with that. And then it was so much work that I decided I actually should be teaching yoga. And getting back to my degree in engineering, because it is all about artificial parts of the body, I have a very strong foundation in anatomy and physiology. So it actually combines really well with yoga, because I understand what the poses are about, the alignment. So there's a really good understanding of me, of the anatomy and physiology of the yoga poses, right, of the breathing, and what it's, how it is affecting the body. Although I have to say that as a scientist like you, one of the reasons for becoming a yoga teacher was to kind of understand the science behind it.
Right. Sure.
But I couldn't do that. I couldn't do that.
We definitely have that in common. So I'm an engineer, and often I think of the body as, it's a structure. And if a bit of the structure isn't working quite properly, then it can affect everything, and you have to find ways to try and fix it. So, I'm an engineer, and I'm very sort of blokey, and I like, the sciencey side of things. So of the people that you teach yoga to, instruct yoga to, and am I a sort of a normal fit?
Well, funny you should say that. I think there's this misconception about who should be doing yoga or what a yoga fanatic looks like. And, there's this concept that, those who do yoga are young, bendy, and thin, and women. But actually, the first yogis were men, weren't they? It was men. And yoga is for everyone of every age. So male, female, and whatever age you are, you can adapt the yoga to different people. Yoga is for everyone, whether you're blokey or not. And actually, I find with men, they should be doing yoga, because a lot of them are very tight in terms of muscles. I can see when my husband, sits down flat on the floor, like his knees are always bent because his legs are so tight. But, you don't have to be bendy to do yoga. It makes you more flexible. It makes you bendier. It stretches you out. And actually, the less flexible you are, the more of a better candidate you are for yoga. Because when I started yoga, I certainly wasn't flexible and bendy. I was lucky in that my neighborhood, there was a woman who was like me, similar to my age, who was teaching classes in a church hall. So the other people who came to her class were like me. So I felt this sense of community, and I kept going. And I'm glad for that, because otherwise I probably would have stopped. Yoga's for everyone. And actually, I recently did a reel on, who needs to do yoga. And it's actually people who aren't bendy or flexible. And, the older in age you are, actually, that's great, because as we age, we lose balance, we lose coordination, we lose flexibility, and yoga can help us with all of those. So don't let age be a limiting factor, or body type, or, you know, male, female. Absolutely not. It's for everyone.
Just give it a go, and you might find you like it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, the other misconception is that, oh, I need to be sweating in order for something to, you know, to feel like I've done something. Well, many times in a yoga class, even though you're still in a pose, you can be sweating, because maintaining that takes effort. You know, stillness takes effort, and people don't realize that. And a lot of times I'll finish my practice, which is not necessarily what you would look at and think, well, that doesn't look hard. You're not lifting weights, but yet you're moving your own body weight. And that takes effort, you know, depending on the pose and how you're moving from pose to pose. So there's this misconception that unless I am sweating, I'm not doing anything good for my body. But actually, studies have shown that sitting still in meditation, where you're not moving, you know, the one where you're sitting cross-legged with your eyes closed, studies have shown that the physical benefits of doing that, you know, so this idea that unless I'm sweating and moving really fast, it's not helping me, you know, that's another myth we need to debunk.
Okay. All right. Good. Well, we'll consider that debunked for now. But one of the things, when I was saying, would I fit into your class, is that there's a fairly obvious reason why I might not.
Right.
I'm a guy. No. So why? Yeah. You specialize in helping women. Why only women in your classes?
I'll tell you why. Because when I went through pregnancy, postnatal and menopause, I had no information, no guidance, no support, nor did I know what was happening to my body. And these are transformational stages for women. I mean, the body physically is changing. Certainly in pregnancy, it's obvious. And then once the baby comes out, you know, your body goes back, reverts back to, you know, not to its pre-pregnancy state, but now you have this body that is trying to hold, bring everything back together again. You know, in pregnancy, everything enlarges and widens, and in post-pregnancy, it all comes back together. And then in menopause, you have all of these physical symptoms that you start experiencing for the first time. So my intention was kind of selfishly to give back to myself what I didn't have. And so that's why I decided to specialize in these three types of yoga. But the other thing is, regarding those types of yoga, is that, you know, because I have been through them, I can, through experience, help these women as they go through these different stages. And it's not so much about what's happening to the body physically. So yes, there are physical changes with each of those stages, pregnancy, postnatal, and menopause. But it's also about signposting the women to who can help them. So, you know, in pregnancy, there's also miscarriage. There can be miscarriage. So signposting the women in my class as they're doing pregnancy yoga, you know, these are the organizations that can help in the event of a miscarriage or in the event of a traumatic pregnancy and birth. You know, where do they go? So my classes are not just about let's move. It's about, you know, why the yoga is helping your body and how it will help you through those stages. Oh, and by the way, there are these books and there are these experts out there, and there are people you should be following and organizations you should know about who can help you in the event of. You know? So it's about bringing the whole experience of pregnancy, postnatal and menopause to these women, because they might not know about it otherwise. And I am that ambassador for them to, you know, bring that information to them. So they're not just coming to do yoga. They're coming to learn about all the other things they need to know about that can help them.
So, yeah, so certainly, my experience, of I've been through all these three phases vicariously with my wife. And yeah, we also had some miscarriages. And we did find that yoga was very useful for the miscarriages from all sorts of ways, and also in the other scenarios as well. But do you find that women might want their partners to come along, or actually the men might want to come along? So
well, it's interesting.
That's what we did. We kind of did, and we still do yoga together. And we find that sort of helpful. So, yeah.
Well, it's interesting. I was teaching before lockdown in yoga studios, and they mainly had classes for the women. There was one yoga studio that had a mommy baby. They called it a parent baby yoga class. But it was at 11 a.m. on a Wednesday. And of course, most fathers, partners are working. So I think I had maybe one or two men come, and then they never, you know, if they were on holiday, they would come, but they didn't come back. And I think it was the timing of the class where the yoga studios are catering more to the time of the women coming to the classes as opposed to, you know, the men. So it was unfortunate that the class was at 11 a.m., but that was a parent baby yoga class. Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? And at the time I was teaching in the yoga studio, and it was just for women.
Yeah. No, I get it. Because my point is, it is obviously it's the women are the, you know, the main dealers with what's happening here, but it is very much a shared experience. Or
it is.
In a perfect world, it should be a shared experience.
And I think if a man had come to my class, let's say a pregnancy yoga class, and said, "Can I do the yoga?" I would have said, "Fine." Yeah. You know, but it wasn't marketed that way.
Yeah.
No, so they didn't
come. You wouldn't have turned him away at the door.
No. And you know what? You know, pregnancy yoga is just about hip openers, which everyone can use, you know, men, women. So it would have, and it's all about lower back pain. And again, men could use that kind of a class. So it's although it says pregnancy yoga, it's actually a pretty good class for just about anyone.
You know? Right. So have you been through a particular special course, and are you certified to help women that are pregnant? Because, you know, you've got to be quite careful here. You want to make sure that you don't do the wrong thing, or, you know, induce birth or whatever it might be. Although, actually, it might be useful for inducing birth if women are overdue. Have you done that?
Well, actually, you can do pregnancy yoga up until the day you give birth, because it is that gentle and it is slow. And yes, I do have further certification. So I did a basic yoga teacher training, and then I had to do further certifications in pregnancy yoga, in postnatal yoga, and in menopause yoga. So those are three additional certifications. And yes, in pregnancy yoga, you have to be careful. First of all, there's the physical element, you know, the big belly. So you're not going to be doing cobra pose lying on your tummy, are you? No. Nor are you in shavasana lying on your back as you normally would. You lie on your side, you know, with your knees bent. So you do have to keep these things in mind. There's certain breathing techniques, you know, you wouldn't use because they are energizing, and already the pregnant body is at a higher temperature to start off with. Because of the extra fluids in the body, because of the baby. So you don't want to do anything to make these women feel hotter and overheat them. So there are things you need to look out for, and things that you really want to focus on, such as, you know, hip openers, lower back pain, and doing movements for that, strengthening the arms, because when the baby comes, it starts growing. You need to have strong arms, strong legs, because when you are squatting down in a birth position, you want to be able to stay there, and showing them adaptations if they can't stay there for that long, you know, with blocks underneath them or what have you. So there is, you know, different certifications, because the body is different at those stages. So you want to be able to adapt the yoga to them. And I wish I had had that. You know, when I was pregnant and postnatal, we were told, do not do anything in pregnancy. You can walk and you can swim, but do nothing, you know, exercise, don't exercise. And I can't swim, so all I could do was walk. And the other thing about those classes is that they gather together women going through the same experience. So it's, you know, women going through pregnancy, postnatal, menopause, and that is another way for the women to get to know each other and share their experience. So there was always time in my classes for the women. I would always ask them, how are you feeling today? And they would always say, well, I'm not sleeping, or I have heartburn, or what have you. And then other women would say, oh yeah, me too. And I tried this and it works. And that is, you know, the yoga is the excuse to gather the women as a community. And It's these shared experiences that are so valuable. That's where the magic really happens. Yeah, the yoga is incidental. We're there to do yoga, but it's really these women coming together and hearing that they're not alone in their experience and what they're experiencing. And that's the brilliant part of it.
No, I can imagine that being very useful indeed.
Yeah.
I'm just bringing it back to me because I'm a bit selfish. Of these three things, the one that happened most recently that I can sort of remember, because actually it's in the recent past, is menopause. It's always quite often it's a difficult time for both involved. So as far as yoga goes, you know, what do you do for yoga? Any specific postures or things to help?
Yeah. Well, there's breathing techniques that are calming. One in particular is cooling. So if anyone is experiencing hot flushes or night sweats, and it's called cooling breath, you know, Shitali. So we teach them that, but we teach other breathing techniques just to get the women, you know, because anxiety is one of the symptoms, feelings of overwhelm, heart palpitations. So we use different breathing techniques just to, so that the women learn different ways of calming down. We also do, it's general yoga, but there are certain poses that are very helpful in menopause, and mainly restorative poses. And with the restorative pose, you just get into the pose, you don't move, and the pose itself releases tension from the body and quiets the mind. And, you know, things like child's pose, and we teach them supportive child's pose to make it even more comfortable. There's legs up the wall, which is also a lovely pose. And again, you know, when we go through the menopause, the thing with menopause is that there's a lot happening. There's physical symptoms. And the physical symptoms come and go, you know, and you can have many at one time. So you're dealing with these physical symptoms. One then disappears, another one appears. You're also dealing with the emotional aspect of menopause, i.e. aging. And for many women, that's a big thing, you know, loss of youth. There's also the concept of, for some women, empty nest, and children leaving home and now having to find a new purpose. That's certainly what happened to me as a stay-at-home mom. Now I was left with nothing, you know, and having to find a new purpose. There's also, as we go through the menopause, a lot of women are coming to crossroads in their career. It's, you know, it's that age, you know, what am I doing? Am I retiring? What am I doing? What is happening career-wise? The other one is relationships, you know, especially if, you know, you had children and now they're leaving home and suddenly you're across the table from this partner that you really haven't focused much time on your relationship. You were so focused on the children, you know, having to, you know, who is this person, getting to know that person again. And a lot of relationships kind of fall apart, don't they? Because people evolve and maybe, you know, think differently after many years of being together, et cetera. So there's a lot happening. There's aging parents having to deal with that. And the other thing is, with all these physical symptoms, it brings up maybe illnesses that are in the family. So if there is dementia in the family and a woman is experiencing brain fog, suddenly she's thinking, oh, is it dementia? You know, is this on early onset dementia? You know, there's all, and also in menopause, I mean, we have the aging and menopause that happens together, right? So aging, whether male or female, our metabolism starts to slow down. That's just aging. So women now have aging, metabolism slows down. I have the menopause, gaining the weight. It's all of these things that are happening at once, and it's a lot to handle. So the yoga is calming, cooling. We get into positions where the mind can quiet down. And the idea with menopause yoga is that you come back to yourself in the sense that we evolve, you know, as humans in our lifestyle, but intrinsically we stay the same. And it's getting back in touch with that person, because there's so much happening around us. It can be overwhelming and you don't know what to do first. But when you come to yoga, it's that coming back to yourself in terms of connecting mind to body through breath and stillness and just being as opposed to doing.
Right.
And by the end of the class, you know, women feel much better than when they came to the class, but they also feel better about themselves. You know, it's this idea that you're getting back in touch with the person within, because that's getting lost in everything that's happening.
Sure. And also this idea, you mentioned it before with pregnancy, being in sort of a club, I suppose.
Yeah.
A group of people that are going through the same thing is going to be helpful, hopefully. So I'm sure that's a good thing as well. It comes out of it.
Absolutely. And a lot of women come to yoga for the first time in pregnancy because they've been doing yoga. And, you know, now they don't, you know, their teacher is telling them, I don't know how to adapt it to you or what have you. Or maybe they've never done yoga before, but they hear it's the one type of exercise you can start doing in pregnancy. So a lot of women come to pregnancy yoga. And, you know, it's a great way to learn about your body, meet other women going through the experience, and, you know, being signposted to other books and things that can help you on your pregnancy journey, because it is a journey, isn't it? Yeah.
So, Libby, if people are listening to this and they're thinking, right, she sounds like a really fabulous woman, I'd like to get involved. Do you still do classes face to face, or is it online? How do you work at the moment?
Yeah, it's, well, because of COVID, it's all online. It just so happens, and I've been so busy that in order for me to do them face to face, I really haven't had time to pursue that aspect. But it seems to be working online, and I think it works online. And I have to thank COVID for this. It's brought so many more people to yoga. Because again, as we said in the beginning, there's this misconception about what a yoga body looks like. And therefore, a lot of people don't feel confident going into a yoga class if they don't think they have the right body, or they think they might not be able to do the poses because they're too challenging, what have you. So COVID allowed people to do it online from the comfort of their home with the video off. And that's been brilliant. Yeah. So getting back to your question, I am currently online, and that seems to work, you know, because people come home from work and they just tune in or what have you.
And does the online work both ways? Can you see the students? Because as a yoga teacher, you know, you've got to keep an eye on what people are doing.
You know, I disagree, because when I do it online, I let the person do screen on, screen off, whatever they're comfortable with. I pride myself in being such a good yoga teacher that my explanations are crystal clear. Not to mention that when you're doing it online, I'm demonstrating. So they can see me. I'm telling them what to focus on. Your knee should be here and there, and look down, make sure it's, you know. So that's, you know, so I think
that's the way you work, right?
That's the way I work. And actually, in yoga studios, I know a lot of yoga teachers like to touch and put people into position. But, you know, I'm trauma informed with my therapeutic well-being practice, and touching can trigger people, you know, can trigger trauma. So I never touched anyone. So the fact that I don't touch people now doesn't bother me. I would always say to them, move your, you know, knee to the left or what have you, or move back. But I never touched people. So going online was not difficult for me to do.
Sure. No, I get it. All right. Look, if people are listening to this and would like to have a taster or just see what you do, presumably you've got a website or a way people can get involved, what's the best thing for people to do?
Well, I have a website. It's www.libbystevensonwellbeing, isn't it? www.libbystevensonwellbeing.com. I'm pretty sure that's it.
Okay,
sure. And then I'm on Instagram, which is where you can see, you know, what I do mainly. I always put little videos up. But my goal with yoga is, it's not to do a 1 hour class, because nobody has that time. I think yoga is one of those things that you can fit into your day, 10 minutes here, 10 minutes there. You know, I often will do a pose just to clear my mind, like tree pose is brilliant. So it clears my mind, because in order to balance, you have to focus, but it's also strengthening the muscles and bones of the legs. But On Instagram, you'll see little snippets like that and how you can insert it into your day. But on Instagram, I'm libbystevenson.wellbeing.
Okay. All right. Look, absolutely fantastic. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you for having me.
I think lots of people, women especially, will find that interesting and useful. So many thanks.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
A big thank you to my guests on this week's show, and they were actor Tom Hopper, regenerative orthopedic specialist Dr. Zbigniew Kirkor, and yoga teacher Libby Stevenson. A big thank you to you for listening, and of course a special thanks to the show sponsor Alga-Cells, who bring regenerative orthopedic medicine to the UK. See their website, algacells.com. If you or a loved one are in pain, do have a look.
That was the Relax That UK show with me, Mike Dill. Thank you for listening, and please do join us again next time.